Thank you, John and Sharon. Appreciate that. I would just like to share a couple of words from God's Word, because I believe that there's power in the Word of God. I could share a couple of thoughts with you from my own heart, but I want to give you God's heart. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says some things about death. First of all, he says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And what I hear from that is that we have a lot of enemies. And when Jesus came, one of his jobs was to destroy the works of the devil. So he went around destroying some of our enemies. When he taught truth, he destroyed ignorance and the lies of the enemy. When he loved people, he destroyed hatred. When he reached out to the forgotten and the alone, he destroyed that sense of division and prejudice that was happening in our culture and our world. And you can kind of follow the life of Jesus if you read the Gospels and follow the different enemies that he kept destroying. But God's Word says the last enemy he destroyed was death. When he died on the cross, and on the third day he rose again, he took care of the last enemy that we have. Paul goes on and talks about death being swallowed up in victory, verse 54. And the idea of swallowed up is, I kind of see this little fish, you know, maybe you remember Finding Nemo kind of movie, and the little fish is going along, and then the bigger fish comes, and then the bigger fish. And I see Satan, and he's got so much power, he's got so much, he's doing his thing, and then all of a sudden it says that death, that's the kingdom of Satan, is this thing called death, and where people experience heartache and loss. You know that death is the result of sin into this world. It wasn't God's original plan. So death is having its way, and then all of a sudden it says that death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, something came, someone came that was more powerful than death, and it didn't ignore it. It actually came and swallowed it up. And so Jesus, it says when he went to the cross, he says it took, he was willing to take the cup of death. He was willing to drink that for us so that we would have victory over this thing called death. Then Paul says something really unusual. He says, "Oh death, where is your sting?" And I know every one of you in this room would love to have a conversation with death. You see, Paul is talking to death at that moment. He's going, "Death, we're going to have a talk here. What would you say to death if you could spill out your guts about your thoughts and feelings about what death has done to you and your family?" See, Paul talked to death, and I think it's okay to talk to death sometimes and say, "You know, death, I don't like you. I don't like the pain you have brought. I don't like the loneliness. Death, I just am done with you." Okay? I mean, you just let it all out. Next time you go to the cemetery, talk to death for a minute. It's okay. Paul did. But then Paul says, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" Okay. So now this is one of those verses in the Bible. Here's a little principle of Bible reading if you want to pick up a principle here. Whenever you find a verse that doesn't seem to make any sense, try to find some other scripture that will help you understand the verse. Okay, so now this verse does not make any sense when you first read it, because everyone in this room knows that death stings. So for Paul to say that there's no more sting in death, in our natural mind, it doesn't make sense. Wait a second, Paul. Could I just point out how much this hurts? How dare you say that death has no sting? It stings. My wife and I have a favorite memory moment. Some of your families have memory moments like this, where I had been working in the yard and I had torn open my hand, a bad blister. And in fact, it came off, so it was just raw skin. And my wife had heard or read, I don't know where she got this brilliant idea, but you know how our wives want to help. And so she said, I've got this thing called new skin. I think if we put it on that, it'll just make your blister all better. So she came and she started putting this new skin on this open skin blister. And if you know anything all about what happened next, I screamed my head off, because that's like putting direct alcohol right on an open blister. And I am screaming, and what I'm saying to her is, get away from me! Thank you, Anita, for helping me. That was so special. I think we in this room would have a collective statement toward death that would say, get away from me. This hurts. So then I have to dig a little deeper and find out, well, then what is the Bible talking about here when it says, oh, death, where is your sting? And what it says here is that though death itself still hurts physically, emotionally, relationally, there is a bigger victory that you need to grab onto. As a doctor is doing surgery, there is pain in the moment, but there is a bigger healing that is going to happen. And what we find in God's Word is that what brought death into this world is sin, and Jesus came and took care of the sin problem. He paid our debt. What we learn is that God loves us and His grace is available to us. And His grace is His strength that will come alongside of us. What we find is that we have a hope of heaven, that forever and ever we will be with our loved one who has put their faith in Christ, and we will be reunited someday. And that the big picture is that this time on this earth is so short. And though the sting is very real, the eternal permanent solution has come. I find also that God has promised His peace, that in the midst of the storm, beyond human comprehension, that as Tyrone was sharing, I can know something supernatural within me, the presence of God, the hope of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the comfort of God, and that makes a difference, so that the sting is gone, the permanent, eternal statement from Satan against us, that Jesus has taken the power of that statement away. And now He comes with a promise. And here's the promise: if you believe on Jesus, you will have eternal life. I have prepared a place for you. And where I go, you will there be with me also. And we together will be with the Lord forever and ever. And so then what Paul says in verse 57, now it makes sense. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look a little deeper into the original language there, it says who gives us victory. And the word gives there is present tense, which means continuous action. And all of you in this room know this truth. The victory you claim in Jesus, you need to claim it over and over and over again. You can't just say, I did that once, but every time Satan throws a lie at you, every time you're overwhelmed with grief, every time the sting of losing a loved one is becoming very unbearable, you go back to the relationship you have with Jesus and you say, Lord Jesus, I need your victory now. And then tomorrow you might have to do it all over again, because His mercies are new every morning. And so that means He's going to have to come to you again and love on you again and come alongside of you again and encourage you again and comfort you again. And you know what? You have a God that is willing to do that. And so the victory we have in Jesus is an ongoing, continuous application of His victory for us on our behalf. Then I read these words, Revelation 21:4. It says that Jesus will wipe away every tear. And then it says this statement, and death shall be no more. Remember that earlier verse? The final, last enemy is death. And someday in the future, we will be in the presence of Jesus, and he will wipe away our tears, and he will say, and death no more. And death shall be no more. Could you say that phrase out loud with me? And death shall be no more. One more time. And death shall be no more. You see, that transforms my whole way of looking at death. I know tonight that the sting of a loss is very real. But we in the body of Christ understand the power of these words. That death is swallowed up in victory, and that victory is found in Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to do something that, what we find, doesn't happen enough. That when someone goes into the presence of Jesus, something strange happens in our culture. I don't know where it came from. But the strange thing is that people stop saying their name. They're maybe afraid to upset you, or maybe, you know, like Tyrone shared, you know, you're afraid to make someone cry, so you talk around the person's name, you talk maybe, you know. But somehow our culture is afraid of saying the person's name after they've died. It's like, I don't know why, because actually what we've learned is that hearing the person's name and having other people remember their name actually brings healing. And I believe it starts with your own heart. When you have the freedom, I think some of you maybe have felt like, well, I don't want to be dwelling on that. I need to, you know what? It's a good thing to say the person's name. It's a good thing. When we were in Kenya, one of the things we did at the orphanage there was 141 kids there in Kenya. And one of the main things we did was we helped build the cemetery there. And you might think, what a strange job to go to Kenya to build a cemetery. But in that culture, they did not know what to do with death. And so they would bury their loved ones in their yard, and then they would farm over the top of them, because basically they didn't want to deal with it. Plus, their land was very precious. So we built a wall, and there's some headstones. There's eight little children that have been buried there. And they have a couple that die every year. And they have these headstones now. And what I noticed what happened there is that now their names of these eight little children will be remembered. And it's kind of a playground atmosphere. I know this sounds really strange, but there's a swing set and there's a playground all around the cemetery. So that when those kids, they know death because they see it happen a lot there, they realize that when you die, you will be remembered in this place. You have value. You're not just going to be farmed over the top of, that people will remember you. And we went to that cemetery. I want to tell you, it was a worship moment, because Carla started sharing the stories of the eight little kids that had died. And when I heard their stories and I saw their names, there was a sense of presence of honoring them. Now, I know that they are not literally there, they're with the Lord, but there was a sense of honoring by saying their name and sharing their story. Now, tonight we can't hear all of your stories. There's another time and place for that. I encourage all of you to be in a group of some kind, or a grief share or support group, that you can talk about it some more. But tonight what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity to come to the microphone, and I will hold the microphone for you. We need to hold it up close. And if you would like, we have a slide. Daniel, if you bring that up. And what we'd like you to do is, that actually should say something a little different. No, I guess that is good. Okay. Thank you, Daniel. So we want to know who you are. My name is. And then this year, I remember. And then say out loud the name of your loved one. And if you'd like to say how you're related, my wife or my grandmother or whatever, and then say how long it's been since they passed away, if you could do that, that would be great. And we would love to honor your loved one by hearing their name and remembering them this Christmas.